We're all virtually limitless.
This podcast is to provide a space for people to grow,
to rise,
and build.
This is for the people that are ready to step up and make moves,
no matter where they came from.
Welcome to the podcast.
Virtually limitless. This life we live, we get to choose. We can make excuses or make moves.
It's up to you.
Yeah, your network is your network.
So find your tribe or build it.
There's some change about to happen. I can feel it. Oh, this life we were given it. So take advantage, start living
it. I'm on a mission, new beginnings to start living.
Yeah, virtually limitless.
You are tuning in to another episode of.
This is another episode of Virtually Limitless.
What's up, Virtually Limitless entrepreneurs? It's your man here, Trey Carmichael, coming at you with another episode of the Virtually Limitless podcast. And today I've got a special one for you. I've got my man Jason Waller joining me on the show. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do and why you do it for the people who don't know you, my man?
Hey, thanks, Trey. Appreciate you having me on. Jason Waller, CEO and founder of a company called Power Home Solar. We're an American-made company using American-made panels, and we empower folks to own their power, not rent it, to control their energy costs, to have energy efficiency put into their homes, to allow battery and storage so they can charge their electric vehicles at night and not have to pay the utility rates, and to prevent any power outages. So, you know, people that are tired of being powerless and tired of those increased utility rates, you got to start switching to solar. It's the new movement. We're building that movement here at Power Home.
Awesome, man. I love that. So I do got to ask, with everything else you've got going on, is solar your true passion, or is that just how you're impacting the world while funding your passion?
Well, our business, we have 1,800 employees and on pace to do about $700 million in revenue this year. It is my passion, and it changes the world, one panel, one customer, one employee at a time. But the other passion I have is the True Underdog podcast. You know, I get to go in and give back. I get to help entrepreneurs and folks that have had a, you know, hard lifestyle. I didn't finish high school. I didn't go to college. Had a kid in my teens, you know, grew up in a trailer park. Everyone tell me I couldn't do things. This is my third business I built from the ground up. And, you know, this one's going really well. We're fortunate enough to keep, you know, exploding even during the pandemic and try to get us to the next level, whether we go IPO or an equity raise to take care of the employees.
Awesome, man. So you said that you didn't finish high school. I'd love to hear about the mindset shifts and everything that you had to go through to get to the level that you're at now.
Well, I mean, at my age, and for those listeners out there, you know, I'm 41. I had a kid when I was 18, and my wife, she was 17. So we dropped out of school and took care of our daughter. And, you know, we're always brainwashed. You got to go to school. You got to go to college. You got to get a good job. And I watched my dad, who worked his tail off, not take risks. You know, he played to not lose. He never played to win. He never, you know, risked it all or bet on himself. He just played it safe. And I didn't want to do that. You know, I wanted to give more to my kids. I wanted to have more. I didn't like how it felt to be judged or looked down on because of the income my family had as me as a young man or as an adult or young adult and a child. And so, you know, I was inspired by, you know, to drive and be better. And, you know, my in-laws at the time, we weren't married, but they didn't, you know, they would make fun of me where I lived and how can you bring a kid into this world and you guys can't pay your bills. So I was on a mission to prove everybody wrong. I was on a mission to, you know, show that I can do it and that, you know, everybody out there says you can't, that I create my own map and I decide what I can and can't do. And I'm the one that wakes up every day and puts my shoes on and picks where I'm going to go. And so, you know, that mentality and that mindset, you know, being at a young person at 18 years old, you know, just became stronger and stronger and bigger as time went on. And, you know, even, you know, in the last venture in solar, people laughed and mocked. Why would you open a solar company? That makes no sense. Why would you do that? You're not going to make it. And, you know, I'd love to prove them wrong, but more so, I'd love to turn those haters into fans.
Awesome, man. I love that. So not only once, but three times in the last 4 years, have you been top 300 on the Inc. 5,000 list? What do you think plays into that?
our growth. And, you know, when we're doing as much revenue as we're doing now, like we finished last year with $395 million, it's hard to be on that list because that's for companies that do $100,000 and then get to $1 million, or do $1 million and then get to like 10 million. So for us to be on that list is, you know, we're humbled, but we're honored, but it's tough because we're so large now. And, you know, our team works hard and our growth has been, you know, double or triple every single year. You know, year one, we ended with 3 million in sales and about 30 employees. Year two was 10 million, about 100 employees. You know, right now I said 1800 employees and we'll do 1700. I mean, now we'll do 700 million in sales this year. So you can see that this is a rocket ship. And, you know, my advice to folks out there is you can't do it alone. I hire great people around me, smarter than me in some cases. And you know, this is putting a puzzle together in your life and in business. You're always adding good pieces.
Awesome, man. So I love that you say you can't do it alone. What is your strategy for building your team?
Finding people that aren't exactly like me, right? There can only be one Jason Waller, just like there can be only one Ben Brookhart or one Kevin Klink. You know, those are some of the members on my team, one Steve Murphy. You got to be able to find things like a puzzle that work. I didn't know what EBITDA was 2 years ago. I really didn't. I built two other companies and everything was cash basis. I wasn't on accrual. I wasn't on GAAP revenue, none of that stuff. And so a couple of years ago, I had to learn what EBITDA was. And I had to, you know, I didn't know any of that. I didn't know how to raise capital. And so I had to bring someone in smarter than me on that aspect that can really, you know, be a mentor and build a corporate infrastructure and help raise capital. And then I had to bring on a CFO. And then recently we brought on a sales, chief sales officer for structure. I mean, as we continue to grow, you got to look for gaps. You know, Superman doesn't run a great business. The Avengers do. And, you know, for every Elon Musk and Steve Jobs out there, they have a wonderful, wonderful team that's better than them in different aspects. They didn't do it alone. And so that's kind of what we're building at Power Home, is trying to get the right team all the time and adding to that as we continue to grow, that they bring something different to the table that I'll be lacking. And then I bring something different to the table: motivation, vision, execution, you know, but I've got to find people that have other attributes to add to the team.
Awesome, man. So at the size team that you run now, like, how do you maintain the communication and make sure that things aren't slipping through the cracks?
Well, things always slip through the cracks, unfortunately. I wish there was a way to button it up and it's super efficient. But, you know, as you grow, you get growing pains and you get, you know, things mess up in one department and you focus on that. You get some bumps in the other department. You know, we do a lot of directors calls every week. We do where 20 directors get on and all the employees report to management, which reports to the directors, and the directors report to the executives. And so we do this directors call once a week, State of the Union, to go over each department. And it's a 3 or 4 hour call and it's tedious. And there's some butt chewing on those calls. And there's some accountability on those calls. There's some celebration on those calls, but it allows everybody to be accountable and talk about their results amongst their peers and what's going on in their book of business. And we empower our employees and our directors management to act like an owner and run their book of business, which allows them to really do that and then showcase it weekly so we can be in tune of what's going on.
Awesome, man. I love that you say that you have that chain of command. And I think that's what a lot of entrepreneurs going into the CEO position really have a hard time building out, is something where they have an actual chain of command. Because as the CEO, once your team gets to a certain size, you legitimately do not have time to speak to every single person individually on a regular basis. It will not happen.
That's right. And, you know, it's very important that you got to continue to utilize, you know, we use Teams, we use different apps. You have to find a way to use technology to communicate and keep everybody up to speed.
Awesome, man. So with all the success, there has to have been some failures mixed into there. How do you deal with those failures?
I look at failures as learning. I mean, and I know that's cliche and everybody says that, but, you know, I wouldn't be able to do what I did if I didn't fail. You know, if you just succeed, you don't learn anything. You just win. And that's not going to teach you anything. But, you know, trial and error teaches you things. You know, not trying it is regret. And that's, to me, that's failure. But to take chances and to risk things and to see what happens and then adjust and then see what happens and then adjust. And, you know, that's how you get better. It's like working out. You know, you don't get muscles from you know, working out one time and then talking about working out. You get muscles from working out every day and training your body. And you've got to train your mind and your, you know, your business IQ to be challenged all the time and to have those failures. And, you know, for the first 2 years, Open Up Power Home Solar, I didn't get paid a paycheck for 22 months. I sold my house on the lake and reinvested everything. So I've hit some walls and, you know, but you gotta keep faith and you gotta keep grinding. You can't quit and you gotta treat everything, you know, one step at a time.
100%, man. And I think entrepreneurs really tend to forget that the majority of the big successes that they've seen, all these overnight success people, like, it didn't really happen overnight. And the majority of these really, really successful people, they will tell you that there were hundreds, maybe even thousands of little failures before they got to those big wins that everybody sees.
No, you're right. They don't see the struggles of no paycheck or selling the house or, you know, the 20 hours of working and taking a nap for 4 hours. You know, they don't see that. They just go and, oh, wow, look what you did in 4 or 5 years. And, you know, we don't celebrate long. You know, we have a motto at Power Home. We treat every day, every week, every month as a playoff game. And we break records every month, but we clap for about 10 seconds and then it's next man up, next game. And so, you know, that allows us to stay in the moment and continue to grow and push our goals forward rather than sit and celebrate and you know, enjoy success. You don't have time to sit and enjoy it. You got to keep going, you know, until you get to the top. And even then you got to keep going. So it's just the way I'm built. It's kind of the culture we've built at Power Home to make sure it doesn't, you know, and reinvesting in your brand is so important. I tell entrepreneurs all the time, the biggest problem we have is people open a business and think they're going to be rich. I just told you, I didn't get a check for 22 months and sold my house, put everything I had back in the business. I was the poorest person working at the company. And you have to be prepared to eat ramen noodles and mac and cheese and, you know, Pop-Tarts. And, you know, live it tight while you reinvest, because rule one, you pay your people. Rule two, you pay your vendors. And rule three, you reinvest in the business. And the people go, what about paying yourself? Only if there's a little extra left after you did those three, can you take a little slice. And as long as you try to stick to that method, you'll be able to grow your company. But when you start, you know, taking all the rewards and the money out of it early, trying to live that life that you really haven't built a foundation under your company, you won't last long.
100%, man. It's definitely way too common in the entrepreneur space, especially the marketing and online business space. People see people selling this dream. They think, oh yeah, I can make it happen overnight. And then there's actually a lot of people out there like selling them programs that claim, oh yeah, we can take you to six figures in 30 days. And in general, that's just not how it works. And frankly, I wish the misinformation would stop, man.
Yeah. I mean, look, everyone wants to cheat and take the elevator. You have to take the stairs. You have to build that one block at a time. Otherwise it's going to be paper thin. And the first little bump, you're going to be out of business. I mean, I truly believe that.
Awesome, man. So at this point, you're living the dream for most people. You've got the booming business. You've got the amazing show. Can you give us like a 30,000 foot view of what a day in the life for you actually looks like?
It's funny you ask. Well, right now I'm in the middle of doing a book. You know, I won Entrepreneur EY, Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year a year ago. And they, you know, once you get into that club, it's kind of like a fraternity. And so at least I would assume I didn't go to college. And so those guys and ladies were like, you got to write a book. I'm like, I've never even read a book. So I started a podcast for shits and giggles and it took off and it's blown up and I'm getting some nice, impactful people on the show. And, you know, I've been, you know, top entrepreneur podcast 2 months in a row for top five for Apple. And so it's really exploded. And, you know, I was doing this as a side gig, you know, one or two episodes a week, you know, a couple hours a week, just trying to give back. I've had some friends, you know, in the NFL and some business guys that I know that led to other business guys and, you know, other people wanting to be on the show and, you know, where I eventually had to hire a whole producing team and stuff. And so I love that. That's my way to give back. That's part of my life. Then I'm coming on shows like yours where I can spread the message about, you know, what Power Home's doing, what True Underdog Podcast is about for entrepreneurs and telling the underdog story. And And then really that I started the book about a month ago and I'm done. I didn't write it. I had a ghostwriter that I talked to for 3 hours a day for 12 days. And she's finishing the book. All the chapters are done. It's going to be called Own Your Power, No Effing Excuses. And I think it'll do good. If it doesn't, that's okay. But I got to put some stuff out there and share some of my stories and upbringing and, you know, obstacles that I've overcome and, you know, tips and bullet points there to try to, you know, get through things and to not quit on yourself and gain confidence. And, you know, that's what I love to do. I love to inspire people. The best part of my job is when we do a sales meeting with 400 sales guys or with the production team with 400 installers, and I can try to motivate them, you know, let them get to hear me and talk about our brand and our company and what we're going to do next. And to get those guys really to run, be ready to run through a wall for the brand. That's what excites me. That's what challenges me the most. You know, the daily grind, I'm a part of it, but I've got such a great leadership team. They kind of give me the nuts and bolts of everything. I negotiate all the deals with the NFL stadiums. We've installed solar. I do love that. And, but you know, I would say I'm living the dream. I mean, you know, I am blessed and I am enjoying what I do and I'm passionate about what I do, which is key. But, you know, the dream is what you make of it. You know, my goal is to just continue to better people. I feel like I'm not done yet. There's so much more work to do and to continue to push people to be better in life. I've got four kids and a grandkid. And so, you know, I want to push them and inspire them to do better. So I would say I'm in the dream, but we've got a lot of work to do.
Awesome, man. I love that answer. So you've grown your podcast to be one of the top five on Apple in the entrepreneur space. And that's a really sought after position. Most people are out here starting podcasts and they're frustrated because they can't even get downloads. What do you think separates your show from the other ones?
I think I have a really good team. I think I've had some big guests and I'm just real and raw. You know, I'm able to share the story. It's taken off. I've done some marketing and advertising, but really I think it's the guest, it's the partnerships, it's the message. And, you know, I put out, you know, two episodes a week. I'm grinding all the time. It's exciting to be challenged to watch it continue to grow. You know, I peaked up in the top five for 2 months and now I think it's like 16th. But, you know, it's hard to stay at the top and, you know, I'm still running a company and I'm a father and a grandfather and a husband and, you know, all these other things, but this is something I'm really passionate about. And so I play to win, you know, I don't play to not lose and I'm very aggressive. And so, you know, being number two doesn't make me happy. I like to win. I don't care about the money or the cars or the, I want to win. And so in order to win, I've got to put great content out there. I got to get people inspired. I got to, you know, push it, market it. I don't care how corny it is. I want to stuff it down everybody's throat till I got friends and family call and say, Jay, dude, stop, man. You're pissing me off. Great. I'm not doing, I got to keep doing this. That means I'm getting people to pay attention and listen. And that's how you really take things to the next level.
Awesome, man. It's really all about eyeballs when you're growing a business. And Too many people think, oh yeah, I'll build it and they're just going to show up. They're going to come. The customers are going to find me. And that's not how it works. You got to be putting yourself out there every day and getting those eyeballs on you, brother. So I love that answer.
I appreciate that.
So you've been able to have some pretty incredible guests on the show. You've got some insane partnerships. Like, what is your strategy as far as networking and growing your circle of influence?
Well, I never get starstruck, right? I'm the biggest diehard Detroit Lions fan ever. And so when we put solar at Ford Field, I was like, holy smokes, we're putting solar at Ford Field. And then when I did a commercial with a couple of the players, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm a huge fan and I'm doing a commercial with these players. But when I got around them and they laugh about it now because we're like best friends, but I was like, I act, dude, I'm cooler than they are. That's what I tell them. Like I act as if like it's, they need to be grateful to meet me. Like not me meet them. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, Matt Prater and Sam Martin, Matt Stafford. Oh my gosh. Not me. I'm like, hey, I'm Jason Waller. What's up? You know, I don't give them that satisfaction and not to be rude, but that's what everybody does. So I make myself different. I make myself mysterious. I make myself not stuck in the moment or starstruck. And that allows it to be genuine. I don't have an agenda. I don't need a picture. I don't need an autograph. I don't need to be your friend. I'm here to do the commercial. Let's go. And then all of a sudden we build a friendship. So it's pretty cool because you just got to wear a different hat. You know, before that happened, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm a big fan. When I showed up there, I wasn't a fan. I didn't care. We were there to do a job. And then fast forward, I got to do a commercial with Barry Sanders, who's my favorite player of all time. I mean, I was giddy even on the way to the commercial. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't. I put it on my podcast. I put it on my YouTube. I can't believe I'm going to do a commercial with Barry Sanders. But when I got there, dude, I was as cool as ice can be. I was like, what's up? And we hit it off. We had dinner after that. We hung out. He came on my podcast, you know, but I don't have an agenda. I'm not starstruck. And, you know, when you control the conversation and you become, you know, equal, you don't go in insecure or feel less than, but you go in more confident than even the famous football player that you love growing up. When I walk in with more confidence than Barry Sanders, then I can light up the room. And that's what I challenge myself to do. And so that's allowed me to get guests and not be stuck in the moment. And you got to ask, you know, you got to say, hey, I want you on my show. You know, all they tell you, no, great. All right. Well, then you just keep asking people. You know, you harass them till eventually they come on or find other people to come on. But I got a team that does that. I push them all the time. They're doing a really good job. And I'm telling you, the team is key. But, you know, I still would like, there's some big names I'd like to get out there. Matthew McConaughey just went on Hala's show, Young and Profiting podcast. I'm a little envious. I told her, I said, dude, I'm a McConaughey fan. We need to get on. I reached out to his team. His team said, no, that's all right. I'll be big enough. He'll ask me. That's my goal, right? So I love when people tell me, no, I'm like, all right, screw it. I'll get big enough. Well, they'll be like, hey, we'd like to put him on your show. I'll think about it, right? Of course I'll do it, but I want to get to that point. And so, you know, we'll do some stuff probably with Mark Wahlberg. I've got a friend who's partners with him and we're looking at some TV stuff with them. So, you know, I'm going to bring on some other guests, but really, it's not even the famous guests that matter. It's the guests that have great stories that inspire people, real people that people can relate to. And I think that that's what people need right now.
Agreed, man. And, you know, I love how you mentioned that first part. I've been finding it very fascinating lately because for the whole first year that I was pitching guests on coming on the show, I'd reach out to them and I'd be very authentic about it. And I'd just say, hey, I've seen you for a long time. I'm a really big fan. It'd be an honor to interview you. And the majority of those messages got ignored. So I actually shifted it to, even if I know the person very well, I say, hey, I saw you around. I looked into your stuff. It looks like you'd be a perfect fit. And I get 3, 4, 5 times as many yeses as I did hitting people with the fangirl, as I'd call it.
That's what it is, man. Fanboy, fangirl, whatever you want to call it. I agree. They're getting harassed. You got to be unique. You got to be different. And, you know, I tell our team, like, if I have 100 people I want on my wish list to be on there, they need to message all 100 every week. One or two will say yes. And after you get one or two, it starts to change. I mean, I had Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank on, but that was because a mutual friend that manages my money manages his money. So it's not like Kevin O'Leary said, yeah, I'll do the True Underdog. It was kind of, you know, by dictation of who we use that manages our money. But that name led to others. And then my relationship with some of the football players led to others. And then the relationship I got with my team led to others. And so, you know, you can't be a fan and you got to align your interests alike. You know, there can't be an agenda. You know, I think fame with some people, they know that everybody has an agenda. And as long as you don't have an agenda and you're real, then doesn't matter if they're famous or rich. It really doesn't matter. I mean, most of the people, you know, that I know that are famous, I mean, I'm worth more than they are, but I don't gloat about it. But I'll tell you what, you know, if they go and figure that out, they'll be like, oh, you know, so why am I going to let them make me feel less? And before, even if when I wasn't worth more, you got to act as if. You got to be bigger than life. You have got in your business, in your podcast, in your book, everything. You have got to be bigger than life. You have got to portray it like it is the biggest, baddest thing on the planet, or you're the biggest, baddest thing on the planet. I mean, you know, you walk into a room and you're single, you need to walk in like you're a damn 10, not a 5. You need to walk in like you're a 10. Confidence brings everything up in every aspect of life. I truly believe that. And so I just continue to tell myself that. And every now and then I have to do a gut check and go, oh, you know, I got to do a roundtable with Donald Trump. And before I did that, I was a little in awe. And then after that, I went in there and lit it up. It's just a dude, you know, we were just having a conversation, but it's kind of a big deal. Beforehand, all my friends and family and business partners and peers were like, oh my gosh, how was it? It was a conversation. It was fine. You know, you got to be bigger than life. And when you act bigger than life, people will treat you bigger than life.
Awesome, man. So I like how you've been talking about confidence a couple times throughout this interview. Where does the confidence come from for you? How did you build that up?
I got sick of getting my ass kicked. I got sick of people mocking me, making fun of me, holding me back, judging me because what I don't have, telling me I'm not going to make it, telling me I can't do anything because I didn't go to school, or I'm a teen dad, it won't work out. You just get sick of it. And when I opened my first business, I lacked confidence because I was insecure of people who had college education. I had people working for me, going and selling home security alarms that had a college education. So I naturally was insecure and would listen to them. Even though I know how to sell and I know that I'm a great leader, I would struggle when they talked and I would struggle to hold them accountable because they were older than me or they had education. And that bothered me for a few years until I remember in a sales meeting where I was really upset with the numbers and I had about 18 sales guys in there, most of them college educated, not me. And here my young bud is, hey, here's what we're going to do. And I said, hey, I need everyone to come in for training Sunday that doesn't have a deal. And people cuss on this podcast?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So I said, look, you know, I need everyone to come in. And so who can't make it? Well, all six that didn't have a deal raised their hand and said they couldn't make it. So the first guy asked was always a prick. And we just spun money on the wheel, you know, to celebrate yesterday's sales. But this was, I need you to come in Sunday to train because look, we need to make bigger numbers and this is unacceptable. And I asked him, he said, man, I ain't coming in here. I said, but dude, you have no deals. I don't care. I'm not coming in here. I said, you know what? I just lost it. I want you to get your shit. I want you to get the fuck out of my office. He said, excuse me. I said, you need to get your shit and get the fuck out of my office now. I said, don't let the door hit, go now. And he left and was shaking his head. And I said, dude, you ain't selling. You got no value here. You know, you're getting paid for what you do. You're wasting my time and money. Get the fuck out. And I said, anybody else not going to come Sunday? Because we can straighten this out now. They all raise their hand. We're coming. That moment, even though it probably wasn't as professional or as healthy as it should have been, was a, wow, I can control this. I can run this show. I don't need to be intimidated no more because they have a college education. They work for me. I signed the damn check. I need to act like I signed the damn check. And so that kind of changed. And, you know, fast forward, you know, hanging out with other companies that did what I did and going to events, a lot of them had college education, you get insecure again and you're like, ugh. And then you figure out over time that the silver spoon fed second generation money people, they can't even hold my jockstrap. I love those guys because I built things from the ground up. I'm their daddy. Their dad built their business. They're second generation. I love them. I love when they come in. I went to Harvard. Great. What'd your dad do? He ran a company. Great. I'm glad you had a great life. I didn't. I built my shit myself. Me and your dad have more in common than me and you. And I'm not picking on those people or saying they're bad, but I love having conversations with people like that because they try to toot them being prestigious and their status around. That shit doesn't fly with me. I love it. I chew them up, spit them right out. Because I did what their fathers did or their grandfathers did. So after I have a conversation with them and set them straight, I'm not rude, but I'm like, yeah, no, I built this up. Nothing was handed to me. I didn't go to college. I didn't waste my money in an education. I let them know right to their face. They get a little intimidated and then there's a lot of respect. And I'm not mean at all, but I'm not going to have somebody make me feel less than when, you know, they were born into like privilege and here you go, you're going to do all this and that. No. I earn mine and I just make sure I remind them.
I love that, man. So a lot of what you've talked about really comes down to the mindset and maintaining the confidence and all of that. So what habits do you do on a daily basis just to keep your mind at that highest level?
Well, I got to challenge myself every day and, you know, there's things I'm always working on. I go 1, 2, 10, like I have a short temper. So that's something I'm challenging myself in 2021 to really ease back and get some gears, right? At least a 5 and a 7 gear, because it's 1, 2, 10, it's not good. So I'm working on that. But to challenge myself, you know, I have a routine. I work out every day. I go to cryo every other day. You know, I got to get my endorphins going. You know, I have to have small wins. I set my goals that are reachable. You know, what's today's goal? What's this week's goal? What's this month's goal? What's the next 3 months goal? Maybe the next 6 months. I don't look past that. Because when you look past that, the world changes, life changes, things change, people change. And then all you do is get defeated because it takes too long to get there. And I've got major ADD. And so if I have a 2-year goal, then 6 months into it, I am checked out because it feels like it's too long to get there and I feel like a failure. But if I have a daily goal and then a weekly goal and then a monthly goal and a 3-month goal, 6-month goal, those feel like I'm getting the little wins, the little steps that I need to get up there. And that helps build the confidence, because when you get little wins, you can deal with the failures that you learn from a lot easier. And you can implement that education that you get from it to even get more wins. And I think that the big problem what people do is they set their standards and their goals, I wouldn't say unreachable, but unreachable in a short amount of time. And so there's a thing I call like dream goals, which is, hey, I'd like to be a $500 million company. That was a dream goal. But my first goal was to get to 1 million. And then it was, well, how do we do 100,000 a month? Because that'll get us to 1, 2. And how do we do 200,000 a month? And how do we do? And then when you set that, all of a sudden you look up, you go, wow, we're doing 500 million a year. Because I set small goals that I can obtain, not one big goal.
I love that, man. I love that. So Clubhouse has been a very, very hot topic lately for the last few months. What is your opinion of it? And are you spending any time on there?
I love it. It's awkward, but I love it. I've been on a handful of times. I have a show on Thursdays at 5:30, Trailer Park to Rich as Fuck, that they just started for me. The team did.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I thought it was a little brash, but I said, yeah, it's okay. So I get people on there, you know, to talk with me too. David Meltzer and a couple other mentors I've got, they get on there. Heather Monahan, you know, people that have confidence and entrepreneurs and got some success and a following. But really, it's free education for people right now. People need to eat this up before it becomes costly, because there'll be a time that it's monetized and people are getting paid to do these rooms and all of that stuff. And
100%.
You know, right now, while it's free and while people can be, you know, engulfed in it and learn, people need to jump on and connect as many times as they can. And so I've been utilizing it. I got in a couple rooms and heard some people speak, and, you know, I got some gems that I picked up on that I thought were pretty good. And then, you know, I've hosted 4 or 5 shows, and, you know, I feel like I've helped a lot of people out. They DM me after and try to give them some advice. And, you know, it's to me, it's like a podcast and LinkedIn had a baby and people are talking. That's what it's like. And so it is unique. It's awkward, but it's unique, and I think it is going to be a big play of networking and building businesses in the future.
Beautiful, man. So you've dropped so many bombs on this interview. It's insane. Is there anything that you want to leave our audience with that I didn't ask you about?
I would say scared money don't make money. You know, we talked about confidence, but you got to bet on yourself. You know, I've risked it all several times in my life, and if you can't bet on yourself, nobody else will bet on you. And the first key to confidence is believing and betting on yourself. And once you have that done, other people will bet on you, including your employees, your spouse, your family, your friends, investors. That's what it takes. But you have to believe and bet on yourself. You can't let everything hold you down. You can't let everything control you or box you in. If you do that and you focus on the small goals, and you, again, it's all about in your head of what you can and can't do, and setting realistic goals, I think more people will be more successful if they stick to that.
100%, man. So believe in yourself, take bets on yourself so that everybody else will.
That's right, baby.
Awesome, man. What is the best way for the people that are listening to see more of you and get involved with you, my man?
Well, you can go to jasonwaller.com, and that's with a Y. So it's JASONwaller.com. I've got, you go to trueunderdog.com for the podcast. I'm on iHeart, Spotify, all of them, you know, Apple, Google Pod, all of them. Got a YouTube channel, and then Power Home Solar. I mean, you go to powerhome.com. You can check out the movement we're building in the solar energy space. We have a motto this year. We're not going to take it anymore, and neither should you. It's time to own your power, not rent it. And so we're super excited about what we're doing there as well.
If you learned anything from this show, make sure you leave a review and check out the description to join our community and grab some free resources. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Virtually Limitless.